This is another edition of Get Lit with Literature. This is Monk. So I'm not big into the holiday season. I do get a few gifts for friends and family. I pretty much can't stand the music that's pumped into all the stores, creating a kind of hypnotic, commodified sing-along. But there are certain things. You know, some of the lighting is pretty, and at night it looks cool, aside from the maybe $200 to $1,000 that people spend on inflatable, as the Yiddish, in Yiddish would say, kitsch, plastic whatevers. But anyway, for me, the solstice is the premier holiday, and as I pretty much say every year, we got to think about what happened, because the days start getting longer light-wise. So the S-U-N is reborn. It's the rebirth of the S-U-N. And yet, across the planet, the consciousness of that and that connection with the Earth and the cycles is diminished in favor of the holy day of Christmas. So I was kind of in one of those, you know, whatever moods about the season, but then I had plans to meet a woman who I met at the farmer's market, a local woman who sells soap. I wanted to get soap for a birthday gift, soap and a dish. And then I had plans to bring one of the a holiday wreath to the guy that helped fix my computer. And also because the wren, the little Carolina wren, sleep in the wreath. So when I was getting the computer fixed, I saw his backyard. It looked like it would be a nice place to hang one. So at that moment, because I'm always fascinated by turning points, and at that moment, I had a shift from the holiday season to the people season. Because I realized what I do like about the season is the you know, seeing people, whether it's people I barely know or people I've known a long time, or just saying hello to, you know, people at the work at the stores and thanking them or whatever it is. But it's the people, it's the gathering with the people that makes it joyous. Now, this is not to diminish other aspects for some people. So to me, it's not the holiday. It's not the holiday or the holy day, because then the day becomes like a savior, and everything, all the shopping, it's like this mad rush with the goal of the day for the savior. So that's no offense to my Christian friends and my own. No offense to my own personal relationship with what I call a Christ consciousness, which is actually integrated and a part of my path with the Kabbalah, but that's another story. But it's the frantic consumer shopping season that I don't like, even though, as I always try to see all sides of the story, I realize that for some businesses it's a big deal and it helps their business. Okay, that's fine. But I'm talking about the socio-cultural stuff. So that's where I come up with the subtitle of this episode, The People Season and the Commodified Savior, because the gift giving becomes like a the savior. Like, as a kid, okay, yeah, I loved it as a kid. I look forward to get those gifts. I remember being up at night before, and that was all fun and good. But as an adult, it's like everybody racing around to get the gifts, and oftentimes being rude, and it's just the madness of it that makes the day the gift. Like, when I get my gift, oh my God, I'll be happy. And so it has that sort of savior mentality energy to it, and that's the part where I scratch my head. So I tend to think of the gift giving as it's kind of like, if I think back in time, even though it's sort of a fantasy thing, it's like giving somebody a gift. Like, we're all gonna go into our little abodes for the winter season, and it's gonna be cold, and there's a certain level of, you know, survival, more survival skill that happens in winter than summer typically. So you're giving somebody a gift that's going to help them get through the winter. Imagine people, you know, out in the woods or out walking about and, you know, hey, here's a sweater, or here's a chunk of beef that'll help you get through the winter, and see you in the springtime. So that's kind of how I view the gifts, rather than the mad dash, which again, for the savior mentality. But then again, it's overlooking, the whole commodification is overlooking the Prince of Peace. So that's another one I have a hard time with. How did the Prince of Peace get, no pun intended, wrapped up with all the franticness and the commodification? That's a long story, which I'm not even sure of, but I do know that some of the story I put in my, again, my recent book, Moving Through the Empty Gate Forest, which is available on my website. See, I have to push that for the holiday season. I'm normally not too big salesy, but I have to push that. So there's a page in the book that I did a little bit of research. In the 16th century, the Christmas tree got moved indoors. So outdoors became, quote, foreign, unquote, which is what the word root of foreign is, outdoors. Freiburg, Germany, F-R-E-I-B-U-R-G, Freiburg, Germany is cited as the birthplace of Christmas trees. The tree was part of Paradise Plays. And a quote, the Paradise Play depicted the story of the creation of Adam and Eve, their sin and their banishment from paradise. The play ended with the promise of the coming Savior and his incarnation. So it sounds a little bit like, you know, this, some of the underlying thing of the gifts is you've been banished, and now when you get your gift, you'll be back in paradise. And in the book, it continues, sounds like much of the current dilemma, so-called civilization, distracted from land and water, awaiting a Savior. A star is often placed at the top of the Christmas tree, is a symbol for what guides us. That is actually from a book about Kabbalah. A star is a symbol of what guides us. So that, again, when I see people's Christmas trees, whether they're plastic or real, and I see the star, I think of that spiritual, metaphysical context, that the star, the lodestar or the guiding star is what guides us. Many birds are known to travel at night with stars as part of their navigation system, but the nationalism social status, not seeing the stars for the trees, became smitten with the decorations rather than the deeper resonances. Without the stars, we lose our way. Without the music of the spheres, we lose the literal sounds of our origins. So that's somehow, I feel about the overall, not seeing the stars, people become smitten with the decorations. And that's, you know, that's part of it too, because it's very much a time, I think, for going, it's like a time for going in and contemplating, meditating, whatever. I mean, that's some of winter, but I think there's that quiet moment that maybe comes around at, you know, what is that song, How Quiet Night, Holy Night, that's that right before Christmas thing. So it's all kind of mixed up in there, and all the kind of holiday stuff and the spiritual stuff. But again, how did it all get so commodified? And more of my focus this year is of the people, thus the people season. And also a memory I wanted to share was, as a kid growing up in the city, one of my best memories was with my dad, when we would go to buy a Christmas tree and just we would carry it home, carry it back to the apartment, maybe 5-10 blocks. And for a city kid, just the holding the trunk of the tree, getting a little pine sap or whatever it was on my fingers, and the stickiness and the smell. I mean, that memory stays with me. It's just a wonderful memory. So as much as I am now not for cutting down more trees to celebrate as such, I still carry the good memory of being with my dad, and the smell and the touch of the pine on my fingers. And a footnote to the people season is that people is not just humans. So when the cold first starts happening, it's obviously a bit of an adjustment. But the other day when I saw the dark-eyed junco, they are a small bird about the size of a sparrow, or perhaps a little bit smaller than a sparrow. They have beautiful, smooth, gray feathers, and then a whitish belly. And they are winter birds. They arrive when it gets cold, and they head out in the late spring or early summer when the season shifts. I think it's more like the late spring. I think it's like May. I think it's Mayish. Usually about the time I plant the morning glory seeds. About the time I plant the morning glory seeds is maybe when they head out. But anyway, this year I thought, okay, here's this little bird that he, she welcomes the cold. That's when they show up. So that has me, I'm going to be tuning into the Junco, and somehow, if I can get a bit of what he, she does and how he welcomes the cold, that'll help me deal with the cold, because it's an adjustment, and sometimes there's a tendency to kind of shirk it. But I think sometimes if you, as somebody told me years ago, if you stand up and put your chest out and take a deep breath, it doesn't feel as cold. So that's just as an anecdote of a reminder of people season is to pay attention to other than the human people. So that's about it for the shift of, as the season shifts for the solstice on this Thursday, the 21st, the shift of consciousness for the holiday season, and may you all be well and enjoy. Thanks for listening.